Good morning.
Oh, man. Hello. I hope you're all awake. You certainly are now. Welcome to Calvin Christian Reformed Church. My name is Pastor Brian. This is my first Sunday here as pastor, so I'm glad to be here with all of you. I just moved in this week with my wife, Tess, and our daughters, Lainey and Mia. So we're excited to be here in Lamar's. We're excited to be here with all of you, to get to worship with you each week. And get to know you over the coming weeks and months and years and however long we'll get to be together. So I guess a couple of housekeeping details as we get going. You'll notice on the back of the bulletin and also right in the middle of the bulletin, you'll find my name and my cell phone number and my email address. So if you need to get a hold of me for any reason, those are the best ways to do it. My cell phone's normally on me. I check my email pretty regularly. So get a hold of me if you need me for anything, or if you just want to come by and say hello, you can do that. Our house is starting to look like a house. I think we maybe could even take a visitor at this point. Tess thinks that's okay, I think. So we're excited. Over the next while, I'm going to be coming around. I'd like to meet all of you and kind of personally and spend some time with you. I've got a directory, which makes me dangerous. I'll probably be getting in touch with you slowly over the coming months. And if you ever want to just sit down with me, give me a call and we'll set that up. I'd love to get to know all of you a little better. Then the big announcement that we have this morning is that we're having a potluck after church. So after our time of worship, we're going to go down to the basement and have some time of food and fellowship. So hopefully you can stick around and enjoy that. And it'll give me a little chance to get to know maybe a couple of you a little better at least. And the other announcement, just the other thing you should know, is the council is meeting tomorrow at 6:30. So they're going to get me straightened out right away. And hopefully we'll be able to move forward well from there. That's what I've got for announcements. Brothers and sisters, please rise in body or in spirit. Let's join together in the call to worship. God gathers us here using these words from Revelation 15. They'll be on the screen or in your bulletin. So let's join in this reading. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Let's worship together by singing, Here I Am to Worship.
Time.
God greets us this morning saying, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Savior." Amen. God has greeted us. Let's take some time to greet one another. All right, you may be seated. I know it says in the bulletin to have you keep standing, but I'll let you sit for now. As we prepare for our time of confession, remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So as we prepare for our prayer of confession, just a little explanation here. We need to confess because we do wrong. We sin. We do things that displease and anger God, and that breaks our relationship with him. So we need to reach out to him, to remember his grace for us in Jesus, our need for forgiveness because of the evil inside us. But often when we do prayer of confession, I think it's good to also do a prayer of lament. While there's evil inside us that we must first confess, there's also evil around us in the world. And it's good to bring that before God as well, and to remind ourselves of our need for his help. So often when we do a prayer of confession, I'll also do a brief prayer of lament as well. Just to remind us again of our need for God before we hear God's words of assurance and pardon. So let's join together in prayer. Most merciful God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, was tempted in every way, yet never sinned, we confess before you our own sinfulness. We have hungered after that which does not satisfy. We have compromised with evil. We have doubted your power to protect us. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weakness. Restore in us such trust and love that we may walk in your ways and delight in doing your will. O God, who is the bright morning star, your people grieve the loss of loved ones, the tarnishing of innocence, the failing of health, the flight of security. Be a sure defense and the promise of a new day. O God, who is strength to the besieged, your people are beset by temptation, danger, and enemies, and help often seems far away. Be a present fortress against foes. O God, who is comfort to the fearful, your people live in fear of threats, real or imagined. Your people struggle in body, mind, and soul against war, mental illness, abuse. Be consolation against anxiety. Grant us patience to wait for you and courage to be strong in your might. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. People of God, hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. The new life has begun. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Christ Jesus, God forgives us and makes us new. Thanks be to God. And so, Jesus calls us to live for him. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor,
For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let's rise and join together in singing 10,000 Reasons. Seated. As we prepare to join together in our time of congregational prayer, I just want to draw your attention to a few things in the bulletin. First, we continue to pray for Al DeVos. I believe that he's been transferred to Floyd Valley Care here in Lamar's now. So we're grateful for that, and we continue to pray for healing and recovery for him. We also want to continue to be in prayer for our congregation. It's time of year for us to begin thinking about new elders and deacons. So the nominees have had their letters, and we want to be praying for them as they consider serving and as we move on through the process of electing new elders and deacons and getting them installed for new terms of service. So with that in mind, let's come together before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you have gathered us here. We give you thanks that you give us the freedom to worship you. We give you thanks for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived and died and rose again for our salvation. We give you thanks for the rain that we had earlier this week, the beautiful and needed rain. We give you thanks for our congregation, for the beginning of a new chapter in our church's life as we begin new ministry with a new pastor. And we pray that you would continue to guide us and work through us. We thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, we thank you for your goodness in our everyday lives. We thank you that you provide us with food and shelter and clothing. We thank you that you've given us work and that you've given us abilities and talents and opportunities to use those things, to bless our neighbors and to be a witness to you. Lord, because we have seen your great love for us, because we know your faithful care, we are confident to come before you in prayer for those who are on our hearts and our minds, for our church and nation and world. We pray for Al DeVos. We thank you for the progress that he's made. We pray that you would continue to be with him in a special way to bring strength and healing, to bring comfort to his loved ones during this time. We pray for our congregation. We pray for the new elders and deacons that we will have soon. We pray that you'd be working in their hearts and minds, preparing them for service. We pray that you'd work in all of us, that we would be witnesses to you in our daily life and work. Lord, we pray for our community. We think of school starting just around the corner here. We pray for students and teachers, that you would bless them and give them a fruitful year of school. We pray for our nation. We think of those on the East Coast preparing for the onslaught of Tropical Storm Henri. We pray that you'd keep them safe. We pray that you would spare them from serious damage or from death and injury. We pray for our political leaders at the local and the state and the national level. We pray that you would give them wisdom, that you would help them to work for your standards of what is right and true and helpful. We pray that you would help us to be good citizens as well. We pray for our world. We think of Afghanistan and the turmoil and chaos that has erupted there. We pray for safety, particularly for your Christians and the suffering that they're undergoing. We pray that you would bring stability and peace there. We think of those in Haiti who have been suffering with this terrible earthquake a couple weeks ago. We pray that you would bring restoration and peace. We pray for our military, for soldiers stationed in places around the world, that you would keep them safe, that you would enable them to bring peace through their efforts. And Lord, we pray for your church. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who suffer for their faith in Jesus. We pray that you would keep them safe, that you would break the power of those who seek to harm them. Lord, all these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. As part of our worship each week, we have the opportunity to give back to God with the giving of our offerings. We're not passing a plate around to collect our offerings at this time, but there is a basket on the stand just outside the doors, and you may worship God by leaving your offerings there. Now let's rise once again, and we'll join together in singing Good to Me. All right. Before we have our sermon and our message together, I'd like to invite our children to come forward and join me here up front on the steps, and we'll talk for a little bit. Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Good? I'm glad to hear it. So normally, when we come up here on Sunday mornings, we'll talk for a little bit about the Bible and what we're going to talk about during church. But this morning, because I'm new, I thought maybe we'd just take a little bit of time for me to tell you who I am, and so that you'll know who I am in the future, and hopefully you won't feel scared to come on up here. So my name is Brian, and I'm going to be your pastor. You guys know what a pastor is? What does a pastor do? He tells us about church. That's pretty good, yeah. So my job as a pastor is I get to talk to people about Jesus. And especially on Sunday morning, I get to stand here, and I get to read from the Bible. And I get to try to explain what the Bible means and what it means for us and what it means to believe in Jesus. So that's one big part of my job. The other big part of my job is I get to take care of all of you people here at church. It's my job to kind of look after you a little bit. Not that you need me for a lot of things, but when people are going through difficult times, especially if somebody's in the hospital maybe, or if somebody's just having a really bad time, then I come and I see them and we can pray together and I'll read the Bible with them and just talk about them and see, you know, how things are going, because I love to be with you people and I want you to be happy and I want you to know more and more about Jesus and I want you to become more and more like him. So I'm happy to be here with you guys. I'm looking forward to get to talk with you every week and get to know you more. And if you ever see me here at church or even somewhere else around town, feel free to come up and say hi. I'd love to hear how you're doing. So thanks for coming forward. You guys can go back to your seats. So as I was thinking about our first Sunday together with me as pastor, I know that the first sermon kind of can set the tone in some ways. And thinking about what to do here with the crazy week of moving in and getting settled. And I thought, you know, I think it's good just to kind of start with the basics and remind ourselves of God. Remind ourselves of God's power and God's love and what that means for us and our lives. So this morning, we're going to look together at one of my absolute favorite passages in the Bible. It's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. So that'll come up on the screen, I'm sure. If you'd like to pull out a Bible and follow along, you certainly may do that. Again, that's Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Hear the word of the Lord. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's join together in prayer. Eternal God, in the reading of Scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditation of our hearts, may your word be known. In the faithfulness of our lives, may your will be done. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As Stephanie and Jefferson faced pressure to think about themselves in terms of what they couldn't do, to focus on their limitations. As people with disabilities, both as Stephanie and Jefferson encountered many people who didn't seem to think very much of them, treating them mostly with pity or scorn. In Jefferson and as Stephanie's home country of Nicaragua, there isn't a lot of support for people with disabilities. So these two young people grew accustomed to being overlooked and being dismissed. Their family struggled to find an affordable school that would provide quality education and therapy for Jefferson and as Stephanie. Even after navigating that task and eventually reaching graduation, the two young adults faced yet another difficult task when it came time to look for work. Because some of Stephanie and Jefferson's abilities and gifts seemed very different than other candidates, many employers just wouldn't seriously consider hiring these two. Both Jefferson and Stephanie struggled with self-esteem and self-worth. At times, it was so easy for each of them to feel like they weren't useful or good enough. With limited opportunities, Stephanie and Jefferson worried that there just wasn't much hope for them. Our situations aren't exactly the same as Jefferson's and Stephanie's, but we, too, can have a tendency to focus on ourselves and our weaknesses, our circumstances and challenges. And we can feel overwhelmed, like we just can't get by. Maybe our hearing is fading, or one of our knees needs replacement. We've got this pain that just keeps getting worse. And we think we can't contribute the way we'd like, or the way we used to. Maybe the sting of a friend moving away, or the frustration of a thankless job, or some difficulty focusing convinces us that we can't ever be the same again. Maybe some ongoing struggles with things like pride, or lust, or jealousy, or greed, or some broken commitments that we're going to spend more time praying, or do more to serve others, leave us feeling like we really can't follow Christ. We might think that our family isn't wealthy enough or popular enough or organized enough to really be worthwhile, let alone try to bless somebody else. We might think that our congregation is too tired or too small or not creative enough to do anything other than what we've always done. Might consider our community to be too plain or too out of the way to really be significant. We can look at other people and decide that we're too different or that they're too hostile for us to be able to interact. We can look around our world and decide that there's just too much hatred and division, too much corruption and injustice, too much pain and brokenness to even bother having hope. It's easy for us to feel overwhelmed, powerless, not good enough. Now, the Christians in the city of Ephesus probably felt more than a little bit overwhelmed and not good enough by the time they first got to this part, this passage in reading this letter. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, the early church leader Paul has been describing all of God's great plans and purposes all the amazing things that God has done for his people. God chose his people to be his children, even before the creation of the world. God saved his people through his power and grace, raising them from death to life. God took Jews and Gentiles and made them one in Christ. And through all this, God has revealed the mystery of his master plan to bring unity to all things under Christ, who is King of all things. Paul has said that the church serves as a witness to all of this work, and a witness not only to other human beings, but also to the spiritual powers of the world. Now, the Ephesians, after hearing all this, probably thought this was way too big a task for them. How could they live up to such a calling when they were sinful people, struggling with divisiveness and anger, fighting to control their words and desires, just like we are? How could they represent God when they were weak and burdened by their own hardships and griefs, when they struggled to understand and remember and live into all that God had done for them, just like we do? This just all felt like too much. Now, Paul knows that Christians need help, both individually and together as the church. So, prompted by the Holy Spirit, Paul doesn't focus on God's people. Instead, he turns his focus to God in prayer. With deep reverence and bold intensity, Paul kneels in prayer and calls on God the Father. God is the creator of all things. Every family in heaven and on earth gets its name from God. This means that he gives existence and significance to, and that he has authority over, every group and nation of people, as well as angels and spiritual powers. But God is the Father of Christians in another sense, too. Through the work of Christ Jesus, God has redeemed his people, rescued them from sin and death, adopted them as his own children. So Paul, and everyone who believes in Jesus and is united with him in faith, Paul has the freedom to come before God in prayer, knowing that God has both the power to be able to help his people and the love to want to help his children. God's power and love are more than enough for God to carry out his purposes in and through his people. God's power and love are far greater than all of his people's circumstances, weaknesses, and uncertainties. So first, Paul prays for God to strengthen Christians with the knowledge and experience of God's power. On our own, we're weak. We're too weak to truly live for Christ and represent him well. We fail. We make mistakes. We sin and give in to temptation. We grow old. We get tired. But when God calls us to live as his people, he gives us the power to do that through the Holy Spirit. So Paul prays that the Holy Spirit will strengthen us in our inner person, reforming us from the inside out so that we're able to resist temptation, to desire what's good, to delight in living for God. When the Holy Spirit empowers God's people, Christ becomes more and more and at home in our hearts so that our lives reflect Jesus' attitude and character and lifestyle to a greater and greater extent. God strengthens us from his glorious riches, his abundant wealth. God's power is infinite, so no matter how much he gives to us, his power will never run out. In fact, Paul says that God's power outweighs and overflows all of our expectations. Nothing that we could ever ask is too hard for God to accomplish. Nothing we could ever dream of is beyond his capabilities. And this power, the power that raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him above all earthly and spiritual powers, this power is already at work in God's people, in everyone who believes in Jesus. God uses his power to do what he wills and to help us to do what he wants us to do, not just whatever we might want. God works his mighty power for his glory, revealing his wisdom and his goodness and his faithfulness. So sometimes when our prayers seem unanswered, we shouldn't think that God's power is somehow lacking. It's possible that we're asking for something that isn't really good for us, or something that's not part of God's plans right at this time. But God's power is always more than enough for us. God's power is more than enough to cure sicknesses, to provide for the hungry, to bring an end to cruelty. God's power is more than enough to give us strength, to endure grief, to withstand persecution, to journey through pain with courage. And God's power will always be more than enough to help us to glorify him, both as individuals and as the Christian community, by doing things like witnessing to Jesus, caring for others, standing up for what's right and true, holding on to our faith in God. God's power defies all of our measurements. God's power never fails. And as awesome as God's power is, God's love amazes us even more. God's love roots us so that we can grow in Christ. God's love gives us a foundation on which we can build our lives and find security. Paul prays that God will give Christians power to grasp the meaning and the immensity of God's love for us in Christ. Knowing God's love goes beyond just intellectual knowledge. Paul is really praying here that God's people will experience Jesus' love, marveling at just how wide and long and high and deep it is. No matter how much we might know Christ's love, there is always more. His love is deeper than the oceans, higher than the heavens, longer than eternity, broader than all of our sins and sufferings. We can never fully wrap our minds around God's love. And since we all do wrong, since we all fail to love God the way we should, we could never deserve his love either. But still, Jesus loves us, coming down from heaven to live as one of us, experiencing our weaknesses and healing our hurts, showing us what true faithfulness and righteousness look like, dying to forgive our sins and set us free from death and evil, rising again to share his life and victory with us, ascending to reign over all things and pray for us, sending us his Spirit to always be with us, promising to come again and dwell with us forever. God's love refuses to accept or just leave us in our sins. But instead, God's love rescues and renews us. It's only through knowing and experiencing Jesus' love more and more that we are moved and enabled to truly live for him. Receiving Christ's love as he leads us to faith, as he answers our prayers, speaks to us through his word, as he satisfies our needs and blesses our work, as he comforts us in sorrow and brings us into the community of his people. All of that transforms us so that we want to live for Christ, to love him and others in return. God's love assures us that he'll give his people life beyond death, that he'll renew all creation, that he will set all things right. Paul confidently prays for God to finish his work in us, filling us so that we experience as much of his power and love, that we become as much like him as we can. God's unending love reassured and transformed as Stephanie and Jefferson, turning their focus to him and what he is able to do in and through them. God led both young people to Tesoros de Dios, treasures of God, where God brought them into a rich community of his people. Through the staff at this school, God provided Jefferson and Estefanie with education and care and love and support. God helped both of them begin to understand that he loves them and values them as his own dear children. After graduation, God used Tesoros de Dios again, first to provide Jefferson and Estefanie with opportunities to volunteer, and eventually giving them full-time work. God has equipped Estefanie to work in school outreach, supporting local teachers and classes. One board member says, Estefanie has increased self-esteem and self-worth. She is more confident, and her faith in God has increased. God empowers Jefferson to work with students by doing horse therapy. And the same board member sees similar results of God's love in Jefferson's life. His self-esteem has risen. He sees himself as capable through his work. God has shown both Jefferson and Estefanie that he will take care of them and that he wants to use them. God assures them that no matter their circumstances, his love is more than enough for them. Brothers and sisters, God's love and power surpass our wildest imagination. God's love and power are more than enough for us. To him be all glory, through his people and through our Lord Jesus forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. God our Father, strengthen us through the power of your Holy Spirit, so that Christ Jesus may dwell in our hearts and shape our lives more and more fully. You have rooted and established us in your love. Increase our ability to understand and experience just how immense your love for us in Christ is. Fill us with your fullness so that our lives reveal your presence, power, and love. We are in awe of your immeasurable power and incomprehensible love at work in us. To you be all glory, through your people and through Jesus Christ, our Savior, to all eternity. Amen. Let's rise in body or in spirit and join together in singing, Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus.
Oh,
Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus has gathered us here. He has spoken to us through his word. And now he sends us forth once again to follow him wherever he has placed us. So rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And know that we go with God's blessing. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Let's sing "To God Be the Glory."